Beckett's Radio, FM 104.6.
Got Lisa Beeny in. We're going to dispel... Well, you are. You're going to dispel a few myths, because I know nothing about electric cars other than they run on electric and not petrol. So, first of all, myth number one, which is probably the biggest... I won't get to the end of my journey before I need to charge it up again.
Okay, well, if you're going to drive up to Scotland, you're right, you won't. But in the UK, on average, the annual average mileage for somebody is 7,100 miles, which works out about 20 miles a day. And the average individual journey length in the UK is 8 miles.
Right. Okay.
So,
not a lot.
How far are you planning on driving, and how often are you going to do it? So, if you've got a car that has a range of, say, 150 miles, and you're just doing your 20 miles a day average, then you'll only need to charge it once a week.
Crikey.
But if you're planning those occasional long journeys, so say you're planning on going on holiday, you're going to drive up to the Lake District, then yes, you will need to stop and refill. A lot of the new cars coming out have got a range of over 250 miles, so somewhere between 250 and 400 miles. So in general, you'll need to stop before your car needs recharging. Then it's a bit, any journey you are going on a long journey, you plan to take breaks. And it's just a case of when you take those breaks, just plug it in and top it up a bit.
So when you plug it in and top it up a bit, how long does, just say for instance a full charge, how long would it take?
That is very dependent on the car that you have. On my husband's car, which is the one I tend to use if I'm doing a very long journey, I can go from about 10% to about 80% in about 15 minutes.
Wow, that's quite quick.
It is quick.
Yeah.
I mean, but that's a fast charging car. So a slower charging car may take about half an hour, maybe 45 minutes. A lot of it is also dependent on how big your battery is. It's a bit like pouring water from a tap into a bucket and saying, how long is it going to take me to fill the bucket? Well, yeah. How big is the bucket? It's a similar sort of thing. So the bigger the capacity of the battery, obviously, the longer it will take to charge.
But when you say, you know, you can go to 80% in about 15 minutes, that's really, really good.
It is, yes.
Because I had visions of us being stuck there for, I don't know, hours and hours and hours.
No. I mean, quite often, I end up stopping at McDonald's and the car can be charged before I've actually finished queuing up, buying a coffee and drinking it.
Wow. That is really good, isn't it?
Yeah.
So that does dispel a few myths, doesn't it?
It does.
So if you, I'm guessing if you've got an older electrical car, and it's going to probably take longer. The newer ones are going to be shorter.
Yes, but also think about how often you're going to need to do that. And electric cars work really well if you can charge from home. And I'd say, it's a bit like imagining you've got your own private petrol pump at home. You can just top it up as and when you need it. And there, if you had your own private petrol pump at home that was a tenth of the price of going to Asda and filling up, then you'd always make sure you just topped yours up at home. You wouldn't think, oh, I don't know, I'll run it right down and then I'll go to Asda. And you just wouldn't do that. So it's a different way of thinking about it.
Yeah, now that's the way I would think about it. And I don't understand why people would go somewhere to have a coffee when you've got your own water at home that you're paying for anyway. So, you know, and it's the same thing. If you've got your own, plug it in and charge it up, the only times you're going to use someone else's electric is if you get caught really short.
Yeah, that's right.
Or if you're at the other end of the country and you need to. That's the only, you know, unless you've got a spare battery, which I don't suppose that, does that work?
There's no production car that I'm aware of that has changeable batteries. There are some lorries that are going down that route, and there are now stations being built where you can drive your lorry in and they'll swap the battery out, and that takes about 5-10 minutes.
And obviously those guys are, you know, they're doing driving all the time. They're up and down and so on. That makes perfect sense.
And
to
these
do.
Are going to be at the main transport hubs throughout the UK.
Yeah, to me, I mean, you're selling it to me. I mean, I was probably one of those people that didn't believe, you know, going back a few years. I mean, electric cars, they've been around for a while now. How many years have they been around for?
I don't know exactly how many years they've been around for, but the first Nissan Leaf, which was one of the first main popular production cars, was produced in 2010. So that's now been around 16 years. 25% of all new cars sold now are fully electric.
Wow.
So it's like a snowball effect, that when you talk to somebody that you know who's got one, and you can ask all the little questions and queries, and you see that it really does work and it really is cheaper, then it becomes normal. And when seeing and driving in electric vehicles becomes normal, then everyone begins to think, well, why would I stick with petrol or diesel?
To me, it's a no-brainer. We've had a discussion recently about electric cars, and to me, if you were safeguarding the future, an electric car is the way to go, especially if you've got any kind of solar panels as well, which obviously there are now opportunities for people to have their own solar panels much easier. I'm not saying that's going to be able to charge your car fully and you don't have to pay for anything. That's not going to be the case, but it's going to help, and it's going to, you know, resolve some of the financial pressures. The other main myth, I guess, is how many places to plug into. And do they, you know, have we got enough? I would imagine there's a plan to give us more.
There is a plan for more, and we currently have more electric charging points than we do petrol or diesel filling points. And
sorry,
even on
just,
the island.
Can you just say that again?
That we have more public charging points than we do petrol and diesel pumps.
Wow, I'd never
and
would
that,
have thought that.
As I say, that's including the Isle of Wight. We're the same position here, and that excludes any chargers that people have at home and any that are fitted at workplaces.
Wow. I'll just take that in for a bit, because that's quite a shock.
Well, if you think about it, when you're driving around the island now, start looking at every car park you go to and the number of them that have charging points.
Yeah.
And the number of on-street charging points. You may only see three or four at a time, but they're becoming a lot more common. And the Isle of Wight Council has actually commissioned 1,500 new public charging points to be installed over the next few years. So there is a plan to roll out more. And yes, we need more. And we still need to come up with viable solutions for people that live in flats, for people that don't have off-road parking. And there are trials for that going on as well, as to channels in the pavement, so you can plug in and pop your charging cable in this channel across the pavement. So the solutions are there, and the plan is there to get there. It's just all starting to happen.
Well, do you know, I was one of those people until I started talking to you a bit more about it, and I was one of those people that was a little bit sceptical that by a certain time, I think is it 2040, 2045, that we're supposed to be majority of electrical cars. I just suddenly thought, well, is that going to be a real target, realistic target? But more importantly, do we have enough places to plug in?
Well, the targets as they stand at the moment, and this is only as it stands at the moment and may change next week, who knows, is that by 2030, which is 3.5 years' time, you won't be able to buy a brand new purely electric or purely diesel car. They will have to be either hybrids or battery. And then by 2035... then they'll all be fully electric.
Wow.
But those targets, I think, may change under the current government. But as I say, it's, you start to build this momentum, and if all the car manufacturers have been working to these targets, they're hardly likely to turn around and go, oh, yippee, we've just converted all our factories and our production lines, let's convert them back. They're just not going to do it.
No.
Because of the cost to them and their business. And another common problem has been the price of electric cars. But you can now buy a brand new electric car for £11,990.
Good grief.
That's the Dacia Spring Expression 70.
All right, okay.
And that's got a range of about 140 miles. So ideal for the island, really.
And things are moving faster. I mean, I'd say it was about 2-3 years ago, I bumped into someone and they were in a car park just around where we live, and we asked them about this little car that looked like a funny little spaceship. It was ugly looking, but it looked quite quirky and fun. But he said you could get to Bembridge, but you wouldn't get back again. You'd have to recharge, and it only does about 29 mile an hour maximum. But since then, I would imagine 3 years on, things have moved on at a rate of knots.
They have, and it's buying the right sort of car for you. I mean, if you live in London and the traffic crawls along at 10 miles an hour and you're only ever going to do your 8 mile commute in each direction, then having a little thing that will only do 40-50 miles before it needs recharging isn't a problem. But if you are driving a lot further, then you need to find the right car for you.
All right. I mean, there's a lot of technical things, but it's not, they're not to do with energy saving or anything like that. Just say, for instance, if you've driven a normal car all your life and all of a sudden you've got an electrical car, the one thing that you're going to have to come to terms with is you ain't got any gears.
Yeah, it's like driving an automatic. And lots of cars are automatic. Really easy to drive. You've got a pedal that makes you go faster and a pedal that makes you stop.
Yeah.
You've got a lot of them have far more tech in them. So you'll have collision avoidance systems that in theory will stop you driving into the back of someone. I'm not sure I want to test it, but
no.
A lot of them have collision avoidance. They'll have things that if you start drifting over the other side of the road, it will bleep and tell you.
Do you know, it's really funny that over the last, something that's just gone through my mind. A couple of years ago, there's a young lady called Chloe who's a 4P student. She was in a couple of days ago, and she said that she's not telling me where I'm not going to be in next week, but I'm not going to tell you why. And then the following week, she told us, she came in and she said she's passed her driving test. And then later on, we spoke about her passing her driving test and the car that she's got. It's an automatic.
Yeah.
And then a young man also on the 4Ps was saying he's taken his, he's not taken his test yet. He's done his theory, he's passed his theory, he's done some lessons. And I said, what are you learning at the driving? And he said, it's an automatic. And I suddenly thought, at that time, I thought, why would you learn to drive in an automatic? Because, you know, you're going to probably need to drive a normal car at some point. And then you think, well, hang on a minute.
Will you?
Yeah, we might get to the point when you pass your test, or, you know, there will be cars available that are automatics and that you automatically qualify to drive it. Scary, isn't it?
Yeah.
Do you think that's a good thing? Bad thing when it comes down to driving? I mean,
I think anything that makes it a less complicated thing to do.
Yeah.
Has to be a good thing, because it means instead of concentrating what gear you're in, pressing that clutch pedal, making it go crunch a few times, you're actually concentrating on the road. That has to be a good thing.
And it's healthier for the planet.
It is. Do you remember when I learnt to drive, we had something called a choke?
Yeah, crikey, yeah. But you don't choke out in the morning.
But you don't see those on cars anymore.
No.
So I think the move to automatic will be similar in that one day you'll just suddenly think, I haven't driven a car like that for years.
Well, I've got an automatic now, and I've never driven an automatic before. I've had it for the last 2 years, and I have to, I don't know, I just put my left leg in a way that I can't use it.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, if I do use it, something's going to happen. It's not going to be very good. So I'm just thinking, and there was an element of my next car, I want it to be normal gears, so then I don't get used to this for too long. But then you think, well, if you're going to get an electric car at some point, because everyone will have to, what's the point? Yeah, no, it makes perfect sense, doesn't it?
I think petrol and diesel cars will still be around for a long time. If you look at the average lifespan of a car in the UK is between 14 and 17 years. So that means you'll still have them around on the roads right up into 2050s, 2060s.
Wow. Are they easier to, just say for instance, if you've got an electric car and you got, I know the car that I've got is old and it's forever needing X, Y and Z, like a starting motor, and it's had two of those in the last couple of years and a few other bits and bobs. Like I needed an exhaust. Do they have exhausts?
No.
So they don't even need...
No exhausts, no gearboxes. The mechanics of an electric car are far simpler than a petrol or diesel car. So that means your servicing is a lot cheaper.
I was going to say, what's the servicing? You don't have an oil change or anything like that? Some kind of oil to...
There are some lubricants on some parts of the vehicle, but there's no engine, so you've got no engine oil.
Right.
You've got no gearbox oil. You've still got a transmission, because you've got to get the power from the motor to the wheels. But they're a lot less complicated, so a lot less to go wrong.
So there's an awful lot of benefits. Are there any negatives?
I think historically the negatives have been the cost of them new,
yeah.
But that's changing and that will continue to change. You've got the sheer number of different electric cars available now. I know not everyone's a fan of buying anything from China, but they have got a lot of really good cars. And they've also bought up a lot of UK manufacturing and names. So you've got things like the MG. They are really good electric cars, as well as the new companies like BYD. BYD actually make the fastest production car in the world, which has, it's a Yangwang U9 Extreme.
A what?
One of them.
A Wang Yang?
Yangwang. But it's made by BYD and it has reached 308.4 miles per hour.
Wow.
And that's a production Crikey. Car. And then you have the fastest 0 to 60 time is 1.66 seconds, and that's in a Rimac Nevera R. So they can be fast and they can be really quick to get there.
Wow. Were there any other myths that we should dispel? Or have we covered most of them?
I think we've covered most of them. And the big ones are the cost, that you're always going to need to fill it up. Oh, how long the battery lasts.
Yeah.
You don't need to worry about that one. You're not going to need to change your battery after 3 years, 5 years or 10 years. Nissan are saying that the batteries will outlast the cars. And even when they take cars back, because all manufacturers have to recycle the batteries, they have to do a something with them. So the old batteries are being used for emergency power at some railway crossings, automated factory vehicles. You know, if you've been to Morrison's and seen their little cleaning thing that goes round, that is an ideal use for a repurposed electric vehicle battery.
Right.
They can also be used for solar and wind energy storage, streetlights and portable power units, and a grid support system as well.
So it's all positive stuff, isn't it?
It's all positive stuff, but unfortunately, we live in a time where the most headline clicks come on the negative stuff, that the positive stuff is often forgotten about, swept under the carpet. And you've still got the financial clout of the oil and gas industry that stand to lose a lot of money and a lot of income.
Mm. But I think, if I'm honest, I think most of the big problems that people have was, are there enough places where I can go and plug in?
Yeah.
How long is it going to take to charge up? And like you say, the price as well. And those figures, I think we should... I don't know whether you added this or not, but the figures that you said about the amount of places where you can charge, yes, there are more of those than petrol pumps. But also there are more and more, and I'm seeing them pop up more and more, places where you've got your own personal pumps as well.
I think if you have off-road parking, then to me it's a no-brainer. If you live in a flat and you can't park anywhere near your house and can't plug in at home, then it will be more difficult at the moment. But that's changing all the time.
Daft question. If you drive more at night, are you likely to use your battery more because you're using your lights?
Yes and no. It depends on it depends again on the car, because a lot of the cars still have a 12 volt battery in them that operates things like the door locks. Quite often that operates all of the internal lights, the vehicle radio, everything like that. So in the same way, if you were driving at night in a petrol or diesel car with your lights on, that would be coming out of your 12 volt battery that is then recharged while you're driving. The same thing would happen in an electric car.
Okay, so is there some kind of element of recharging whilst you're driving then? Because I guess that's how we do things in a petrol car or a diesel car at the moment. You've got an alternator that keeps things charged up.
Yes, there is a unit that sits in there that will divert some of the charge from the main car battery to the 12-volt battery to make sure that's kept topped up. The other brilliant thing is that if you're going downhill, the car motor acts in reverse as a dynamo and recharges your main car battery. So you don't get that in a petrol or diesel car. When you're going downhill, it's not putting petrol back in the tank for you.
Right,
but
okay.
In an electric car, it is. And it's quite funny to watch it. If you're going down a long hill, you actually see your range increasing as you're putting more power back into your battery.
Fabulous. Hey, look, we've run out of time, but I think we've answered if not all of the myths that people would be questioning or asking and so on. So I just think it just seems to me it is the future. I didn't think that it would be. I really didn't think we'd get to 2030 and we'd be where we are, or 2035. That's another target, and I think you got no chance. But my mind has been opened quite considerably in the last few weeks. So fantastic. Thank you for that. I really appreciate it. You're coming back in a month's time, or less than a month now, isn't it?
Less than a month. It'll be a few weeks.
All right. Any ideas? We're getting to autumn.
We are getting to autumn, so it will be... We could talk about heating.
All right.
We can also talk about the risks of carbon monoxide of when you start putting your heating and your fires on.
Okay. Brilliant. That's what we're doing in a couple of weeks' time.